This FabFM Voice of the Douglas Shire podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
This is a recognition. This is garden recognition. And then when you think about what Antoinette is talking about, and you say, well, this is about our garden planet. This is about our lifestyle. People say to me, oh, you're so into community. Yes, because there is nothing else. There is nothing else. And when we talk about community and gardening and food and future and food sovereignty and the future of our food, where's it coming from? Well, everywhere I went today, I could take eyedroppers of the context that we are and your community is already framing for the future. We visited 12 gardens today, and they ranged from small residential gardens to the community services garden, which is doing so much in terms of gardening the spirit and gardening the soul. And that's what it's about. That's what the botanic gardens are going to be. They're going to be an incredibly connected, centered, well, centerpiece from which everything that we're talking about tonight can be anchored. And when you've already got a council that's saying, hey, let's have these awards, and yes, we've got a few more gardens, and I think, wow, there's been 19 people say, yes, let's put our gardens forward. But that's 19 people and 19 places that affect your whole community. And look at all the people here tonight, here to talk about what? Gardening. No, it's so much more than that, because it's gardening what we want to be, not only as a community, but as a nation. And I want to say, first of all, thank you to everyone who backed Gardening Australia and myself at the recent Logie Awards, because I know that there was a wonderful support network here in the north, from Cairns right up through here. And I know it because I felt it and I saw it, and I saw the connections through all of the social media and through all of the messages of support. But for us to get that Logie Award, for Gardening Australia to get that Logie Award, that's basically saying that the community is backing where we're looking. So when people were asking me a lot of questions over the month of nomination, I was saying, don't look at me, look at what I'm looking at. So when I say what I'm looking at the Mossman Botanic Gardens. I'm looking at land care. I'm looking at permaculture. I'm looking at the work of Bruce Pascoe. I'm looking at the 65 or 69 Indigenous ranger groups doing biosecurity from Broome right down to Cardwell and right up through the TI land bridge. Incredible work going on. I'm looking at the electric ants, I'm looking at the yellow crazy ants, I'm looking at biosecurity as the threats that we as citizens are all involved with. And as I said in the 50 seconds that I had to say thank you, as I said, this is going around the country. And for the last 2 weeks, it's begun its journey. And I'm going to put a GPS in there, and it's going to travel around, not because I want security on it, I want everyone to be able to watch on the net where it has been, where it is, and where it's going. Because that thing there says that the public's recognising the content that we're creating. This is what we're watching. This is what we're supporting. This is what we want our future storytelling to be. I went to the school, the primary school garden, and that, in the case of 3 months, has already built an incredible connection to growing in your community. Because where's the garden? Right at the front of the school. Every kid walks past it on the way in the morning. Wow, what's going on there? Oh, have you seen this? This is growing. This is now going into the canteen. That is game changing. And that's only been going for a little while. But when you connect that with that opportunity to build observational skills that are inherent in all of us but have been diluted and dismissed by convenience, because we sort of go, oh, well, I'll just conveniently let someone else grow everything and bring it to me in a convenient supermarketed place, and then I'll just take my food from there and just pass it on. But what we can do now with these educational spaces is say, no, let's get that control back. And that control comes through gardening. Gardening will change the world. It already is. I saw it at the Community Services Centre. Here we have people that are coming from places of disadvantage, people coming from places of difficulty, and you have this incredible little paradise there that's growing not only beauty, but it's growing food, but then it's growing the skill to grow the food yourself, so that if you don't have all of the normal capacity, you can grow your own food. And if you can grow your own food, then you can survive. And then you can make a difference to others' lives by actually being healthy and eating fresh local food. So, you know, there's two things, the school and the community services garden, bang. And the hospital. What about the hospital? The little garden there in the courtyard. Just walk there and be angry. I ask you, try and look at that and be angry. You can't. It's a happy place. And it's a happy place being driven by, you know, one person. A little courtyard that otherwise would probably be filled up with papers and leaves and waste, and is now filled up with love and joy and little trinkets and bits and pieces that have been bought from the op shop. And that suddenly people walking in a space where they're generally stressed out because it's to do with health and something's not necessarily right, and then they look in on that and they can just go, oh. So then we have the whole therapeutic aspect of gardening and the incredible powers that gardening holds to be preventative. And you know, everything you said about growing the medicinal aspects and everything about the medicinal aspects of indigenous medicine and therapies, you know, we haven't even touched on, because we're still sitting on it. But we're changing. We're starting to stand up and get off. We don't need to sit on it anymore. We need to connect with it. We need to allow it to rise, you know. And that logi, in its strange sense, is a public recognition that gardening should be up there in the highest levels of national storytelling and TV and media. And we need to fire up about our national media, because if we don't, we're going to be told syndicated stories from other places, and we won't have news about ourselves and about our future. 19 garden stories from this garden project that I could tell. And that's just 19. I know I've driven past plenty more.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a novice at this gardening thing, and I'm trying to do compost, and I've got two piles. How do you know if it's working, doing what it's supposed to do? It looks good, but how do I know it's right?
Now you're in my sweet spot. Oh, I was, you know, you always wonder, public meeting, which question, but you asked me a compost question. So what I see in a lot of compost, I go and, you know, I put on my archaeologist's goggles and I look in and I say, ooh, this is the grassaceous period. And that was when there was a lot of lawn mowing that took place. And then I go here, this is the rakaceous period, because that's where someone was doing a lot of raking of the leaves. And then this is the food scrapaceous period. And that goes in there. And so you have these layers, and never the three shall mix. So as you mentioned, Monica, like it's about going out into your neighbourhood, your compost goggles on. There is outputs everywhere. There are people doing things in your neighbourhood, chopping, cutting, mowing, creating waste. Neighbours, I have a garbage bin outside my house and a benchtop bin, and I have probably 15 houses in my street bringing me their food scraps. Plus I have one couple that provide food for their personal training group, and they bring me two full garbage bins a week, which works out at about 110 kilos of food scraps. So I've got chickens, I've got two worm farm bathtubs, I've got 8 compost bins and 4 worm farms. And I can't keep them all going. And I'm just asking more and more people to bring me stuff. So The key thing I would say, without spending the whole night on this question, because I could easily, start with one bin and just work at getting the moisture level right. You don't want it too wet, you don't want it too dry. You want that nice mix. You can always get newspaper and shred it. One of the most therapeutic things I find is standing over my compost bin, and I've collected a few newspapers just when the blue bins are out down the street. It's kind of a good look. I can see it reaching the Who Weekly, ABC TV host seen raiding blue bins, you know, at midnight. It's a good look, with Logie around his neck, claiming innocence. But yeah, you get the paper and you shred lengthways down the page. And I'm sometimes doing that late at night because I get home and I know I'm leaving early in the morning. So I can be seen at my compost at midnight. I'm sure someone, if they had their window open, would be thinking, what's that strange creature? And then they look out and it's just the half man, half hedge activating his compost. But you'll find it very internally relaxing to do that. And then the paper provides you carbon, you know? And there's lots of carbon around. But if you can't get leaves and dry material, just use paper. Every garden's a journey. I saw two amazing gardens to finish with over in, where was that? Port Douglas. But these were gardens that weren't massive backyards. They weren't acreage. They were gardens that were, and I think I pasted out, about 2.2 metres wide around an L shape around one side and the front of this house in within an estate, like a little community estate. And they had more diversity. There was more diversity, colour. They were just, like, I was looking at that and saying, well, everything I'm looking for was in that, because it was done slowly. There was colour, there was food, there was form, there was screening from the street, but at the same time there were views, there was a mixture of annuals and perennials, there was art and creativity. So you know, I look at the context and the capacity of the space, and then say, how's that journey taken place? Because then we looked at another garden that had been going for 20 years, which had a water feature and entry space that looked like you were walking somewhere in the back blocks of the Daintree. And the water feature and the species, and then within that there was a beautiful use of some hanging real estate. So rather than saying, oh, I want to block the street by putting something on the floor space, which then grows up and actually hems you in here, all they did was drop a few hanging baskets down so that from the table, when you're sitting, you don't look at eye level to anyone on the street. So these little tricky, and that's why this garden event, let's call it, is really important, because the more that we can show people different ways, it's all about little hacks, little ideas, little combinations. I must have taken I blew my battery out by about lunchtime. Well, no, it wasn't. It was about 11. I must have taken about 500 photos today. Why? Because I saw so many good things. Because your garden may be well and true. You may be opposite. You're facing south. You're facing north. You're on a slightly sloping part, so the drainage is coming. You're totally different. And you're literally separated by the footpath or by the road. So that's why I say, you know, when it comes to understanding plants and understanding, you know, horticulture, it's about understanding everywhere you go. So when you walk down the street and you see a plant that's doing well, just do your site assessment. And go, right, it's on the south side, which means it gets the full sun arc all day. So, you know, you start to piece it together. You're not going to get that out of a book.